hope has arrived. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 20, the word says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Dear friends, hope is among us today. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with us, turn, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 12. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 12. When the Lord led us to this passage of Scripture, we know not what direction that our Heavenly Father would lead us to, but as we began to look and began to meditate and began to pray over this passage that God hath laid upon our heart, the Lord began to remind me that He is our hope. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our present help in time of trouble. And in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter number 12, as we began reading in verse number 38, and we'll read down through verse 42. "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall be no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Oh, dear friends, I began to focus upon this passage of Scripture that's found in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 12. Well, you see there, dear friends, when you see that the certain scribes and Pharisees had came into the midst, these religious rulers in Jesus' day, they had no hope. And as I began to look at the world in which it is we live, there are so many in our day and time who have no hope. And as I began to look very closely at this passage, the Lord began to remind me that hope was in their midst. I began to look at this wording that's found here in Matthew chapter 12, where you see, dear friends, the scribes and the Pharisees had a desire, an agenda to do one thing, and it was to destroy the ministry of Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Liam, why did they desire to destroy the ministry of the Son of God? Simply because, friends, they had no hope. And I can tell you today, if you're walking around without any hope, your eternity is doomed. I began to look at many in the day and time in which it is that we live. They're so offended at the very name of Jesus. They have the Lord and His ministry at an offshoot of their lives. Why? Because they have no hope. I want you to understand something today. If you want joy and peace in your life, you must have hope. The scribes and the Pharisees demanded a sign. Why did they want a sign? They wanted to ridicule. They wanted to tear down. They wanted to oppress and destroy the ministry of Christ. But Jesus said, no sign. sign will be given unto thee. But the sign of Jonas the prophet, what Jesus was saying here was that he had come in the volume of the Word of God to bring about hope in a world that had no hope. Well, you see, dear friend, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, would come. He would live. He would die and be crucified. And on that third and appointed day, praise God, hope would arise victorious over hell and death. Oh, dear friends, what entered the presence of the scribes and the Pharisees that day was hope. The Bible teaches us in the passage that we read, where there are two or three are gathered in His name, He's in that presence. Praise God! Hope has arrived. If you're here today and you don't have hope, you can have hope through the desire of God. As we began to focus very closely upon this, the Lord began to remind me of a woman who suffered 12 years with an issue of blood. For the Bible teaches us in the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 8 that this woman sought all that she had for a cure. But when she heard about Jesus, she heard about something. She heard about hope. I tell you today, if you've ever heard the name of Christ, you know He is hope. He is hope eternal. He can bring what one needs in his or her life. This woman, as found in the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 8, when she had heard about Jesus, she had a desire to reach out. And the Bible says in verse 43 of Luke chapter number 8 that she had spent all that she had on a cure but found none. But if you look very closely at this chapter, you will see that she did something that brought a great change. You know what she did, dear friends? She took a hold of His garment. She took a hold of hope. And praise God, hope extended her life, just not physically, but praise God, spiritually. She got more than what she bargained for. You may be here today and didn't expect too much out of the service today. Want you to understand something, dear friends. Hope is here, and hope is willing to bless you, help you, and lift you up, and bless you beyond measure. Why? Because hope loves you. Hope loves you. The Word tells us in this passage that Jesus had came in the midst, and Jesus had listened to the scribes, and He'd listened there to the Pharisees. And Jesus began to point to them what was most needed in their life. Oh, dear friends, I believe that the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of hope, is pointing out what's most needed in our lives. You say, Brother Liam, what is most needed in my life? The most needed thing in your life is to be born again, to be saved, and to have, praise God, eternal security. I want you to understand something. Hope that was there 2,000 years ago is the same hope that's arrived with us today to bring to you, praise God, what you need. Jesus wasn't there to be seen or heard. He was there to seek and to save. And notice there, when He came into the midst, He looked just like any other rabbi. He looked just like any other religious man in the days of Israel. But there was something different about Him. there was just something special about him. Well, the woman who had the issue of blood for more than 12 years, when she heard about him, she knew there was something that was extraordinary about this preacher from Nazareth. Well, the Bible tells us in John's Gospel, in John chapter 7, in verse 46, an officer once said, "Never man spake like this man. Never has one transformed, reshaped, and brought about joy and peace in people's lives any more than the hope of God." The hope of God is Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. And I say that to say this: hope has arrived today. Hope is here. Hope is with us. You say, "Well, Brother Lynn, is hope with us? And if hope be with us, why is it that I feel the way that I do? Why is that?" Well, listen, hope can be with us, but not in us. You see? Listen, hope can be with us, but not necessarily in us. You see, when Jesus came, he didn't go in the presence of the scribes and Pharisees to do a trick or to do a miracle or something to tickle their fancy. What Jesus came to do was to bring to them a message that could lead to eternal security. He was in their presence, but he had a desire to be in their heart. That's why that he said what he said, that Jonas, a great man like Jonas, who went to Nineveh and preached in a whole large city, got saved. Jesus said, "A greater than Jonas is here." I tell you today, dear friends, we today are in good company. There ain't no one or anything that can compare to the hope that is with us today. Jonas was great. He was a prophet. The Old Testament. He was a great man. Jesus stopped not there. Jesus spoke about the Queen of Sheba, how that she would come from the uttermost and question and ask questions to Solomon. And Solomon would answer them in a way that was extraordinary. But Jesus would declare to the scribes and the Pharisees that a greater than Solomon is here. Oh, dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is and forever will be, our hope is greater than anything that you and I praise his name can imagine. We hold a lot of people in high regard. Those old basketballers, they'll hold Julius Erving or Michael Jordan. Old race car guys like me holds Dale Earnhardt and Schumacher from the F1 teams, hold them in high regard. But the one that is in our midst today is greater than all. The one that is in our midst today is the living, breathing Lord Jesus Christ, who is the hope of the world. Hope is with us today. Hope is among us. Praise God, hope has arrived. The Word of God tells us something that we must never forget, that through him is life, and through him is life more abundantly. Now, those scribes and those Pharisees who sought to see his demise, those who sought to tear him down and those who sought to destroy him, he loved them all the same. Because you see, that's what hope does. You know, I preached a message a while back and we've shared this in our teaching. We tell people, we said, be very careful how you answer this. Is God fair? And everybody wants to raise their hand, yes. And I'm here to tell you, dear friends, God's not fair. You say, well, that's blasphemy. No, God's not fair. You know what God is? He's merciful. Because if God was fair, you and I would be held bound with no hope. But because He loves us, because He cares, He wants to give you hope. I don't get what I deserve. And my daddy, he never did whoop me, but now my mom used to cut a switch every once in a while. Did I deserve it? Yes. Did I get all of them that I deserved? No. What if we got what we deserved from the Lord? You see, I'd be a man most miserable, Brother Lynn. You know why? Because you wouldn't have no hope. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. But it also says in Romans 10:13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's hope. My hope's not wishful thinking. My hope is a sure thing. And what arrived that day 2,000 years ago in the very presence of those devious, devilish scribes and Pharisees, the one who arrived there that day was hope. The one who is with us today is hope. And the same desire that Christ had then is the same desire that Christ has today, to bring you peace, to bring you security, to take your old sinful, devilish ways and cast them into that old sea of forgiveness. Not because you deserve it, not because Terrell's a good man, not because Jake is a fine dad, but because and the care that hope has for us all. You see, when our Savior strode in here with us this morning, as these two or three had gathered and He got in the midst of us, you know what He wanted for us? The very best. The very best. That's all He wanted. That was his itinerary today. Is to give that little flock up our Pine Hill Baptist Church the very best. And what would be the very best? Himself. His presence alone. Listen. We're in good company today. We're in good company. We're in the best of company. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees may have failed to see it. You say, that's a shame. Well, you want me to tell you another shame? Men in our day will sit in warm pews in these churches all over the land, will fail to see it. So we asked you today, we asked you today, if you're here today and you don't have hope, praise God, you can have hope. If you're here today and you're not embracing hope, praise God, today you can embrace hope. You might say, well, Brother Lynn, I got hope, but I live sort of in a hopeless predicament. God can change all that. What did He say about Jonas? And what did He say about the queen? What did He say about the people of Nineveh? They're going to be rose. They're going to be risen up to a high standard. One day, they're going to be raised up to a higher plane than they once knew. If you allow hope you'll have hope to have His way, He'll raise you up. He'll raise you up. But you know something? I don't know much about this book, but what little bit I do know, I've never read where my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ ever grabbed anybody by the nape of the neck and made them do anything. He didn't. He could have put those Pharisees and scribes on their knees too quick to talk about. You remember when they came to the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus said, "Who seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, "I am He." And the Bible says they fell back like dead men. Just at His very word. But you know what Jesus gave to them 2,000 years ago? It's what that He gives to us today. An opportunity. Opportunity. He's not holding our transgressors. He's not holding our devilish, evil, sinful past. He's not holding that against us. For the word grace means favor. He's extended to us favor. And the word mercy means kindness. Hope is extended to us mercy and kindness today. So that we can leave joyful. That we can leave with peace. For a greater than all is among us today. Hope has arrived. Let us today embrace hope. Let us today praise hope. Let's stand to our feet.